What do you believe? Beliefs are fascinating. They shape our choices, they influence our emotions, and they really do define our reality without us really even realizing it. I guess we assume they're true, but many of them are just stories that we've absorbed through our childhood, through our culture, our friends, and our past experiences. But what if those beliefs aren't serving us? What if we could rewrite them and in doing so, rewrite our story? Today, we're honored to welcome Sarah Grinberg, a leader in personal transformation. Through her podcast, coaching, and research, Sarah has helped countless people break free from those limiting beliefs and create lives filled with joy and purpose and fulfillment, which I think is what we're all really searching for. Sarah, it's wonderful to have you with us today.
It's so lovely to be here.
What inspired you to start exploring, I guess, the power of beliefs?
So I have always believed in there's something more than what we can see. From a very young age, I was very curious. But it wasn't until I was in the world of entertainment and I got a job in breakfast radio producing. And I was so excited because I had wanted to be a producer for years and I'd finally gotten that role. And then we were asked to produce the breakfast radio show at the company I was at. And for anyone that knows the radio world, the breakfast radio show is the creme de la creme of shows. So if you're producing that, you've basically got the best producing role at the company. So the hours are grueling and I had to be up at 3 a.m. every single morning, well, Monday to Friday, and I had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at the time. But I was so excited. This is the job that I'd always wanted. In my mind, I had everything. You know, I was getting a really big salary at the time and it was this amazing, amazing show. So as the year progressed, I found that I became more exhausted and more exhausted until it got to a point where I was just completely and utterly burnt out, waking up at the crack of dawn, seriously going to bed at the same time my little kids were going to bed, never seeing my husband. He was obviously doing all the stuff for the kids in the morning and we'll get home from work before, you know, whilst I was already in bed. So there'd be days where we didn't even see each other. And what I thought from the outside looked so good made me realize that inside I was just absolutely miserable. Mm. And the icing on the cake for me was one day I woke up and I was absolutely so unwell with the flu and basically couldn't come to work that day. I went back to sleep and then woke up again and just felt awful and walked to the couch and sat on that couch and realized how the hell did my story become like this? Mm. You know, I thought that all these shiny objects and having the big paycheck and the glamorous job was going to bring me joy. And I realized that it absolutely was not. And what people would perceive from the outside is that Sarah, she's so lucky. She's, you know, schmoozing with all these celebrities, got this high profile job, earning all this money. Really, I was so miserable. And it was that point, I don't know, you know, they call it a light bulb moment or a dark night of the soul. Basically, I thought to myself, I need to change. I need to be able to rewrite this story because I am miserable. And if I keep on going like this, God knows where I'll end up. And I do not want this to be my story. Mm. And it was at that point where, you know, I obviously thought, okay, what do I do to be able to change my story? And I threw myself into every personal development book under the sun. And one big thing to note about that is obviously I was reading books, I was taking it all in, I was listening to podcasts, anything that I could touch about the mind-body connection, about psychology, why are some people happier than others, Buddhism, everything. I wasn't just reading it, I started to embody it. So the things that really resonated with me, I started to make those changes in my life. And honestly, Shelley, after such a short period of time, I saw my life starting to change. Mm. And it started to change for the better. And sometimes in ways I would never have expected, but the changes were occurring. And it was really at that moment that I thought to myself, God, you are able to change your story. This is possible, but you need to have conscious awareness mm-hmm. about what you're doing and where you've been and where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And that's when you realize that rewriting your story is absolutely possible and possible for anyone.
And there's so many chapters to everybody's story. So let's go back to the start where you worked really hard at school, you worked your way up through this company, you knew that if you put in the hours and you're in the right place and you're doing the right things and you were showing your commitment, all of those things that we believe are what makes a great employee and what we should be doing as a working mum. I'm going to, you know, have my kid, have it all, you know, you've got it all at that point. And there's a bunch of beliefs in that too, isn't there?
Absolutely.
I've got to get the most out of my education. I've got to give back. I've got to work hard. I believe that if I do all those things, I'll be rewarded and I'll feel amazing about myself. So it's not just, you know, the money and the shiny things. It was all these beliefs from your childhood that's what you have to do. This
yeah.
is what we're here for, to work hard for someone else.
Totally. The environment tells you through marketing, through social media, that those are the things that will make you happy, right? But as you know, and I know, if you do no internal work on yourself, you're never going to be happy. You'll be happy for short periods of time. You know, you'll go buy an object and that might make you happy for a week. It's not going to be sustained happiness. And then we see that when things happen in the external world, which that's life, bad things happen to everybody. Doesn't matter how rich, how famous, what great job you have. That's the life we live. You start crumbling because you don't have that resilience within. And I realized that if I wanted to change my story, I needed to build my inner world to be one that was harmonious mm-hmm. so I was able to deal with what was coming to me from the external.
So that obviously meant questioning everything about who you were to this point. And there would have been some things that you were happy to carry forward into the next stage and things that you were, I guess, comfortable in shedding and leaving behind. That transformation, I guess, that chrysalis and the caterpillar becoming the butterfly, it's not an overnight process, is it?
It's not at all. And, you know, this is an interesting thing. A belief is just a thought that we keep thinking, right? And I just want to say that again because it is very powerful. A belief is just a thought that we keep thinking. But we have agency in that, in the knowledge that we are able to change our beliefs at every time. Mm-hmm. Just because we were brought up a certain way and our parents believed something and then we started believing it because our parents believed it, doesn't make it true. We are allowed to believe whatever we feel that we want to believe in and what we want to believe in ourselves. And that goes to the whole rewriting your story. What do you want your story to be? Mm-hmm. You're able to make it whatever you want, but you need to be consciously aware of everything you're saying, everything you're doing, and your actions. And when you say it's something that you need to kind of keep writing, and you must work on yourself for the rest of your life. It's not a point in time where you just do all this work, you watch your thoughts, you're consciously aware, you start meditation for a little bit, whatever you do to make yourself feel better. This is your life now, and you need to constantly putting in the work. And personal development work takes time, and it's an everyday process, but it's one that when you have that inner core that is strong, then you'll find that your resilience to be able to deal with external factors is just so much better than what it ever could have been before.
Imagine this. Unlocking your genetic blueprint with insights from over 200 healthy aging genes, pinpointing your unique SNPs and potential red flags, understanding what your body needs to thrive and where it may need some extra support. No more guesswork, no more random supplements, one-off blood tests, or one-size-fits-all advice. For the first time in history, we have access to the power of genetic testing, something no generation before us has had. This information could change everything. Join our free DNA webinar and you'll get our Stay Well scorecard jam-packed with the markers that we want you to track every year, starting now. Friends, know your genes, own your health. Let's learn to thrive together. Visit theagingproject.com to register, and I'll see you there. I think parenting is one of those things that often makes you question your beliefs, or just pull yourself up sometimes. I remember when my girls were little, things that were going to come out of my mouth were exactly what my parents had said to me. And it's at that time that you catch yourself and go, is that what I really think? Is that what I really want to say? So now I find myself just pausing before I open my mouth at all. Is this what I want to say, or is this just conditioning? And I think a lot of beliefs are that. They're just conditioning. And not to say that, you know, any are right or wrong, but as you're saying, it's what is true to you and what actually makes sense to you and that you can authentically follow through with, no matter whether it goes against your religion or your culture or your childhood or your family. It's a really difficult process, I'm sure, a lot of the time, to get through that, to get right down to the core.
Absolutely. And the thing is, I feel in life we need to be curious. Just because I say something, and you might be listening right now, or you say something, Shelley, doesn't make it true. You're allowed to believe what you feel is right for you. And I always say to people that I coach or who listen to my podcast, read different books, listen to different podcasts, see what resonates with you. Don't just follow one person and take everything they say as being some sort of God. Really, it's about what sits well with you and what works for you. And I think that's just personal development work in general. If you're going to want to make change in your life, you need to find the tools on how to do this. And, you know, this is obviously what I talk about in my book. And I give people the steps that I feel is what helped me change my life. But it's something that does take a lot of work. But the more curious you are and the more that you keep learning and go on that path, you'll find that you'll have far more avenues to really define what your beliefs are and then be able to change your values if that's what you want, or be able to kind of change the things, the habits that weren't serving you, to be able to make better ones to lead a truly great life.
So here it is, the Living a Life of Greatness. Your first book is coming out very, very soon. And as you say, you're going to step through it there. How long did you sit on that couch for? When you came out in the morning, how long did you actually sit there and reflect and think, it's time?
You know, it's so interesting that you say that, because I've never actually thought about that before, but it probably was an hour or two. And I remember it was I live in Melbourne, and it was a really cold winter's day, and it was kind of a bit foggy outside. And it's funny how the brain works, right? It takes snapshots. Like most things I can't remember at all, but it takes snapshots of when you have kind of trauma or pain in your life, or it takes snapshots of the very good moments. And it feels like yesterday that happened to me. And yeah, it was probably an hour or two, and I was crying and realizing that change needed to be made. But the thing that I learned is that in order to change, you have to change. That I couldn't be the Sarah that I was. I could still, obviously I haven't changed completely, but I needed to change enough of my habits that weren't serving me to be able to lead a different life. And that's the path that I then went on.
Did you blow up your life at that point? Was it right, this is it? Like, this can't be it's obviously going to take time, as we've said, but I have to leave my fabulous job. Was that sort of one of the first things that came to mind?
You know what? I know better now, but at the time I still was so scared, and I found it like I wouldn't let go of that job. I was like super glued to it. And it's funny because a lot of people have probably experienced what I'm about to tell you, because I was so super glued to the job, but I was doing all the personal development things. I was meditating every day. I started doing visualization, all these things that made me feel really good. And then a few weeks in, because we were doing a Sydney breakfast show from Melbourne, the big boss who was in Sydney flew down to Melbourne. He said, I want to meet you. And can I tell you, Shelley, I was complaining about this job nonstop, but I just would not let it go.
No, I feel you.
And he basically came into this meeting room and said to me, unfortunately, your job needs to move to Sydney. So if you're interested in moving to Sydney, you have a job. And if you don't, then you don't. And I thought to myself, I can't. Like, I have two young kids. You know, they're not, I'm not going to just take them and go to Sydney. And my husband's job's here. My whole family and friends are here. It's just not going to happen, especially not for a job I don't like. But basically, my job was redundant if I did not move to Sydney. And I thought to myself, how can this happen? I've just thrown myself into all this work. I'm bettering myself. I'm not gossiping. I'm doing all the things right. And as we have it, because I wouldn't let go of that job, it got completely taken out of my hands. 2 weeks later, the head of the company contacts me, and then we just at the time they'd started this podcast arm, and podcasting was really in its infancy. Like, I'd listen to Serial, and that was like the only podcast that I knew about. That's how long ago it was. And they said, would you be interested in moving into podcasting? And I'm thinking, oh, like, okay, maybe. And then they said, you know, you could be Hamish and Andy's producer and all these things. And I wanted to be the producer for True Crime Podcast, and they allowed that to happen. And I made that move. And, you know, I think 6 months in, I came up with the idea for my podcast, got deeply into this work, started coaching, keynote speaking, all the kind of stuff, gave up the producing, and the rest is history. But it just goes to show, because I would not let go of that job, it was taken away. And I know better now. I know that if I'm in a situation where I think I want to move to the next level, or I want to do something more, or even it could be in a friendship or something like that, I don't feel this is working, I will not wait till it gets bad. Mm-hmm. I will make that move, even though it's scary, and going into the unknown is always a scary thing. But I think I embody what I say and teach others, and I must do that for myself. And I even did that, you know, if you're Australian listeners, Hamish and Andy are obviously two very well-known names in Australia, right? And I, 4 years into being their executive producer, I mean, it was so much fun. It was just 4 years of having great times. There was nothing bad that ever went on. But I thought, I don't want to be a producer anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just, I've got to build my podcast more. And so I chose, even though I knew that 1,000 others were going to, like, am I being ridiculous giving up this amazing job? But I did. And you know what? I moved forward. I started writing my book. I got an opportunity, you know, from a publisher, and all these wonderful doors started opening. But I truly believe they will not open unless you choose to move away from what is no longer serving you, or you no longer serve that.
I absolutely agree. You have to shut the door before the next one opens.
100%.
As scary as that might be.
It is.
It is. You were doing the work on yourself, and you were learning a lot about yourself along the way. Can you share with us some of the beliefs that you did break free from?
Yeah, I think it was more the idea. One thing for me was that my mind would run absolutely crazy. I had no control over my mind because I didn't even understand what that meant, right? So I come from a family of worriers, which I think is very common, and not worrying in a way that's harmful, worrying in a way to protect, right? You know, my grandmother one day, this is quite a funny story, my late grandmother, my uncle had driven to her house, he'd gotten a new car and it was a convertible, and she literally came out of the house and started bawling her eyes out because she thought that the kids, my cousins, and him would fall out of the car. Like, this is the worrying that, you know, I was kind of growing up with. It was all protection. But when you grow up like that, you start to worry about everything, literally everything. I get an email at nighttime from my boss who just wants to meet. And in my mind, before I've even gotten to the meeting, I'm already fired. Like, I'm gone. I'm out of there. You know, so I create stories in my mind that were just not true. And that was my life. I could wake up in the best mood within 20 minutes, be in a shocking mood. Shelley, what changed from when I woke up to 20 minutes later? Nothing but my untamed mind. So what I learned was that I had to be able to control my mind. And the first thing is about thought patterns. So, you know, for example, if a negative thought comes in, what do you do? Well, once it's coming, you can't do anything about that actual negative thought, but you can replace it with a more positive thought, a better feeling thought. So when I coach my clients in mindset, I say to them, what is something that you love or brings you joy? You know, for you, it could be your husband or something that you do at work, or maybe it's your children or your dog. Whatever it is that brings you joy, know what that is. As soon as that negative thought comes up, you replace it with that positive thought, knowing already what it is, so you don't have to scramble when the negative thought comes up. You may need to do that 60 times a day, 70 times a day. But what we know now through neuroplasticity, which we didn't know many years ago, the scientists thought by the age of 30 that your brains were set, and whatever you were thinking then is not really going to change. But we know now through neuroplasticity that the brain is always evolving till the day we die if we know how to change it. So the more that you're doing, you're replacing the negative thought with the better feeling thought, the more you're rewiring your brain to have those better feeling thoughts, and the negative thoughts slow down. And as we spoke about earlier, you can't stop watching your thoughts. You have to be consciously aware, because if you stop, the negative thoughts will start coming in again. So that was one thing I started to do. The second thing I started to do when I was waking up at like 3:30 in the morning, having those ruminating thoughts that just go over and over, and you know, at that time in the morning, it's like the worst thing in the world is going to happen, and you have the darkest of darkest thoughts at that time, and you lie there completely asleep, you lie there completely awake, you fall asleep an hour before your alarm goes off, and then you wake up and you're exhausted. So I tell people to test the thoughts, right? What is it that the negative thought is? Say, for example, we'll make something up. Sally doesn't like me. You really believe that to be true. And I say to them, test it. Do you know for sure that Sally doesn't like you? No, I don't know for sure that Sally doesn't like me. So already you're testing it. You're going to feel better if you think, okay, I don't know for sure. So then I say to people, well, what are you going to do about that? You could, if you are able to do something with it, maybe you'll speak to her. You'll find out, like, is there something you did wrong? You'll see if you can change anything. And if there is nothing and you know for sure that Sally is upset with you, you go into the final stage, which is just accepting the fact that this has happened, allowing the knowledge of that, sitting with that, and moving on. And having the ability to be able to change my thoughts like that was life-saving for me, absolutely life-saving. I went from worrying about the most stupidest, littlest things that really, honestly, Shelley, put me through hell. I put myself through hell, to being able to be free. Like, there's this beautiful Rumi quote, and he says, Rumi was a Sufi poet way back when, and he said, why do you put yourself in jail when the door is open? And he's talking about the mind. We put ourselves in that jail, and when we have the ability, that key that is able to unlock it, then everything changes. So that was, you know, in rewriting my story, that was the biggest thing that I changed.
Gut health is a topic that many of our guests, like Dr. Frank Lipman and Catherine Maslin, have mentioned in the past, which is why we have a range of products we've researched over at YouMustTryIt.com. We encourage you to be proactive about your gut health and let us help you resolve any ongoing issues. You can also book a health coaching appointment over at YouMustTryIt.com. Just go to health coaching to learn more. So it's interesting, is you actually started to not only unpack all of that, but it's finding a belief in yourself as well, not about, you know, what you have, what you do, but who you are on the inside. And that's, you know, we often say that's enough. It's enough. If Sally doesn't like you, that's actually Sally's problem, not your problem at all. But just going, okay, I'm allowed to be whoever I am in this world, and that's going to get me as far as I want to go and the places that I need. So it's almost getting rid of the old beliefs, but also finding belief in everything that you are.
Absolutely. And I really believe that one thing that was a big shift for me is I knew that I wanted to serve. I wanted to be in a role where I was helping others. And that's when I found, like, you know, producing, of course, when I was doing that, there is such a big element of service there. But I thought, the podcast is really where I'm hitting people, the book now as well. And it just brought me so much joy, as I'm sure you experience with the work that you do as well. to be able to help other people on their journey, because I truly believe that's why we're all here. You know, Ram Dass has that beautiful quote that we're all here to walk each other home. And I believe that to be true. If I can come on this podcast and talk to you and have a wonderful conversation and someone hears that, and even if their life is changed just for that little bit, then that will fill my cup up, as it will yours, as it will theirs. And service became for me something that I found that I wasn't doing as much before, but something that I always do within, you know, anything that I can kind of do now, I would always try and do something with an act of service attached to it.
So do you feel like now, like, again, as you say, today's conversation is going to plant a lot of little seeds in people's mind, and perhaps, you know, they've known that they have to make some changes and do some work on themselves, or this might be a light bulb moment for them and they're like, oh, geez, yes, I do believe a lot of things that perhaps don't serve me any purpose. Is that moment and that time, I mean, we would always start meditation, obviously, I'm sure so many of your guests do and talk about, and it's fascinating here, doesn't matter whether we're talking to an orthopedic surgeon or a holistic dentist, everybody that we speak to about wellness and aging well and being kind to yourself, so much of it starts with meditation.
Oh my God, it's like the most favorite thing of mine. And the funny thing is, and I always like saying this, is when I first did meditation, I hated it. I will never forget.
I can't imagine you're a person that sits still very easily.
Exactly. And my mind was going out of control, as you can imagine from the story I just told you. I remember there was one thought and then the next and the next. And I actually thought to myself, I'm going mad. I can't even remember what all these thoughts are. They're crazy, these weird thoughts like of this and that and da-da-da. And I'm like, okay, I'm just not going to be able to meditate, because I have what we know now is like the monkey mind, which so many people have, right? I wasn't alone in that. And another tip that I give people about meditation is don't stop because you haven't found the right meditation. There are so many different meditations out there. You could study with a Vedic teacher and learn Vedic meditation, which is where they give you a mantra and do a ceremony. I've done that. It's very beautiful. But if that's not for you, you can go online, and there are many meditations. They're free that are out there. Guided is really a lot easier for some people that are starting out. I highly recommend any kind of guided meditations. You might like some with music, whatever suits you. But if you find one, like I, the first one I did, I think it was like some psychologist I'd found, someone had given me his meditation, and it was like a body scan. And I just found it so boring. So I was like, this is just not for me. But then next. I found ones. Yeah, exactly. And then I found ones that had amazing music in them. And I am a real music lover. And it just got me into this zone, right, where I could really feel my brain waves were really changing. Mm-hmm. And I really started enjoying meditation. And the thing was, right, because I had this crazy out of control mind, I made sure, I was like, okay, if I want to change, I've got to change. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I needed to show up for meditation at least 5 days a week. And I did. I sat there, and it was hard at first. Mm-hmm. It really was, but I didn't stop. I sat there and I did it. And then the more I did it, the more I became better at it. And what happens when you become better at something? The more you start enjoying it. It's like when our kids go to school and they find it really hard, a subject, and they don't like it because they find it hard. The more that they learn, the more it becomes easier, the more they start enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with meditation. But knowing what it does for you, which I'll explain now, is such a reason to do it. So I have this crazy monkey mind, as we discussed. And, you know, with these young kids, I'd find myself sometimes, you know, I'd maybe just nothing bad, but bark at them a little bit, or it would, you know, things like that would happen as kids, what happens with kids, and, you know, you're stressed out in your environment. As soon as I started going into meditation, I found that my brain waves not only slowed down, but when my eyes were open, so in my eyes open life, when something happened and the way that I reacted was so much longer, in the sense that things happen and we react straight away. And then we might regret whatever we said or did or whatever it was. But when you meditate, you have time to think about your reaction. And so therefore, you know, no one's going to react in a bad way if that's not what they want to do. And I found that I had so much more time. I wasn't at all ever going off at my kids about anything. If I was in meetings and someone upset me, I wouldn't say anything. I would have the time to really think about a great answer. And everything started changing, everything. And even now, I mean, I just love meditation. If I'm going through a rough patch or something's really triggered me, I will do two meditations that day. And sometimes I find, like, you know, when something has come up and I'm get upset about it or whatever it is, that meditation will take the edge off in such an incredible way. And I really come out of that meditation. And it's not like, wow, that whole thing has gone away, but the pain or what I'm feeling to do with whatever the situation is a lot less after meditation. So I find, and it's just the most wonderful tool to just deal with life.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to put it. I think it's that thing too, as you said, calming that monkey mind, giving your brain a chance to compartmentalize everything that it needs to do. But that first decision, as you said, came from you going, if I want to change, I've got to change. I'm the only one who can do this. We talk a lot about baby steps here, and we give our community a lot of ideas, and we speak to a lot of wonderful people that I know people would then walk away sometimes listening to a podcast with, okay, where do I even begin? What am I going to do? And go back to those baby steps, the baby steps. And I think for me, having had zero routine in my life, and even through having two babies, but I was working and traveling and moving and shifting and always on the move, there was never a sense of routine, which made me feel like I was just, you know, throwing myself to the wind, really. And it'd all work out in the end. But getting a morning routine was one of the things that truly cemented, I guess, my belief in me that I was worth the time, that I didn't have to rush to everybody's beck and call in that moment. Might mean getting up an hour earlier so I can get my morning routine done so then I am prepared for everybody else. That really worked for me, taking those little baby steps and putting things into place that gave me, I guess, a sense of control or a sense of calm before everything else began. Do you have anything like that you do? Meditation obviously being one of those in the morning, but does it come in a sequence?
I totally agree with you, Shelley. I think now, like, a morning routine or just starting off the morning in a good note, you know, there's that saying, win the morning, win the day. And I do believe that to be true. But definitely I wake up in the morning. I have my phone always on airplane mode. I do not turn my phone on. And this is really important for people to hear because, you know, it's easy for them to also do till I do a meditation. And like you, so you have to wake up maybe like half an hour earlier or however long your meditation is. It's so worth it, you know, because I'd rather wake up at 6:30 or 6 in the morning and having had that beautiful meditation than wake up at 7. Okay, I got an extra sleep, but I'm so grumpy. So, well, I mean, what would you rather do? So I love the idea of waking up that little bit earlier. I always start my day with meditation. I have this beautiful heart meditation I do that's just going into my heart and being really just imagining people in a very loving light and really making sure my heart opens. And I feel it's really great because then emails that I get, meetings that I go in, whatever it is, it's like I've already set my heart to opening up. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming at it through a different angle. And then it might be that I go do some exercise or whatever it is. It's not such a like a hardcore morning routine, but it's definitely waking up, centering my heart to love through meditation, doing some sort of movement. I mean, if we go to nutrition's sake, I'm always eating a breakfast that's protein-based, you know, usually it's maybe eggs and avocado. I like that in the morning. It's obviously something that will fuel your body. It's not peaking any glucose levels or anything like that. I've learned now it's good to eat before you do gym as well. So I used to kind of do gym and then eat, and then I, you know, found out that it's better, especially for women, to eat before. So I make sure, even if I don't feel like it, to just have a bit of protein and fat and then go on to do some sort of gym. I like going now as I'm getting older, and doing weights is really important as we age, as I'm sure you know, and also heavier weights. I actually get a lot of joy out of that. My girlfriend was saying, I don't know anyone else that actually likes going to the gym. And I'm like, again, similar to the meditation, I found a workout that works for me. Like, mm-hmm. I really enjoy doing weights and doing heavy weights, and I get the thrill of that and the endorphins that come with that. So for me, that's good. And always nourishing the body in a way, through protein or other good foods, that's able to fuel it for the rest of the day. And, you know, getting onto food, one thing that's very important too, I spoke to a guy on my podcast a while ago, his name's Dr. Amen, and he's a brain doctor. And he talked about food in a way that I'd never heard about before, because we always think food, we think our body, we're just fueling our body, but it's our mind as well. And having good foods and making sure that we're not having a lot of processed sugars, he said that's the worst thing you can have for your brain, is what really allows your brain and your body to thrive. So definitely in the morning, 100% meditation before you turn your phone on. I like to move my body as well and fuel it with some, you know, great protein and fats in the morning too.
Oh, Sarah, you are speaking our language. And to me, just hearing that makes me feel like, yes, you are living a life of greatness. When the book came about, was it really about that? Is that a great life? Or are you driving people to find what it is that drives them? Are you encouraging people to say, hey, look, this is the world you're in, and you might be ticking along quite comfortably, but did you know that if you believe in yourself and change some of those beliefs, that you might have a greater life out there waiting for you?
Absolutely. You know, the premise of the book is everything we need is inside of us, right? You know, if you go back to The Wizard of Oz, and I love that movie from when I was young, the Scarecrow was looking for brains, the Tin Man for a heart, and the Lion for courage. And we know that Dorothy had those ruby red slippers on. All she needed to do was click the shoes together and she would be home. The others had everything they wanted inside them already. And the idea of the book is everything we need is inside us already. You don't need to go do a course. You don't need to buy some fancy machine. It's all there. But because of life, things get pushed away from us. Like that big, beautiful light that we have when we're little, it gets slowly put out when people say, no, you can't do that, or you're not smart enough, or that's not a great job, whatever it is. Slowly we find that we lose ourselves. And I wanted people within this book to realize that they have what they need inside them already, but I can help them through what I've learned to be able to guide them to find that light again. And greatness is different for everybody, but this book was written to help people find their way home.
You have interviewed some great minds out there. You yourself own a fabulous mind, Sarah, and it's so lovely to see that you are sharing that. As you say, you are a messenger and you're a guide, and you're helping people find the greatness within themselves. So those phrases like, I'm not, I can't, we just have to banish those from our vocab.
Absolutely, because, you know, you and I talk today, for anyone listening again, we're no different to you. You know, everyone can do this. And as I said, it's just about making those little changes with your mind, with your actions, with the words that you say to yourself, like, I can't, I'll never be able to do that. Just those simple shifts of changing your narrative, making sure you're watching your mind, you're fueling it with positive rather than negative thoughts, you're being consciously aware. And there's many more steps in the book, but those little things will make such a difference in enabling you to live your best possible life. And everyone can do it. I'm no different to what you guys were. You heard the story. I had a crazy mind, but I decided to make that change. And as we talked about earlier, for change to occur, you need to change. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm.
How long do you think it takes to rewire a certain belief? If you just keep telling yourself, you've got your affirmations, you're visualizing, you're journaling, how long do you think it's going to take?
They say it takes about 60 days to form a new belief. But if you keep on persisting, as we said, the important thing to note with this is you can't stop. Mm-hmm. For example, you can't stop watching your mind. You can't stop watching what you're saying to yourself that may be negative. And the more that you keep putting those positive thoughts in, the more that you make those little changes within your life, the more that you'll start to see things shift, the more whenever you're feeling down, you start becoming grateful for what you have around you. I mean, we all hear about gratitude, but it truly is the fastest way to happiness. Mm. You know, when you've had a day, and I do this often, when I've had a horrible day and I feel like everything's against me, I think about the things that bring me joy and that I'm grateful for. And it might be the fact that I went and got a coffee today and had a beautiful conversation with the barista. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for our conversation today. You know, I really want to show people how simple this is. The other night, I took my daughter to her singing lesson, and the singing teacher allows you to sit in there whilst they do the lesson, which is so,
yeah, I don't get to listen.
It's so beautiful. Anyway, I had this experience, Shelley. It was so amazing where, you know, I hear on the podcast, we talk about spirituality here and there. And I always say to people, what's your most mystical experience? And they'll talk about this idea of oneness, where they became one with everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going on that and gratitude is, I was in the middle of listening to my daughter have this lesson, and she started singing a song that they had rehearsed together. It was a beautiful song. And there was a moment there where I thought, this is one of the most beautiful moments of my life. I actually felt one with my daughter and the singing teacher. I felt like I was going to cry because I was so overwhelmed with gratitude that I was sitting there in that moment experiencing such love. And it was as simple as that. Mm. I just sat in that class with my daughter and listened to her sing, and I was so grateful for that. These things aren't wild. And I think sometimes when we hear spiritual leaders or personal development teachers talk, we think they're these grand things that we have to basically adhere to or follow, but they're not. They're those little things that if we're grateful for, we're able to feel so much joy and happiness. But when we're not consciously aware, we don't know that they're around us. And I think one of the biggest things is also just being present. Mm. Being present allows you to get so much joy in your life, and it stops the mind from racing forward or going to the past. And I really feel like those little things make such changes.
That's it. And if you weren't present in that moment, you could have been thinking, but I've got the groceries in the car, and then we're going to be late for dinner. And if she has to sing this one more time, that means that I'm going to, you know, forget to do something else. Your mind could have been there.
Totally. I could have been on my phone, like, mm-hmm. it.
Or just, I won't listen so today. I'll just wait outside and come out when you're ready.
Totally, yeah. Totally. And I just thought, wow, this was so simple, but this was such a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. And it changed me. It honestly did. I think about it a lot. I was like, God, that was unbelievable.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
It is, though, isn't it? It really is. And again, we talk about, and we have been lucky enough, I guess, to be exposed and have one-on-one conversations with some incredible people. And again, whether it be meditation or being present, it's something that always comes up. And you can find gratitude in every little moment, even when you think there is nothing to be grateful about and you're about to kick the can down the street, there will always be something if you look for it.
Always.
If someone's feeling stuck in their own story, what do you say is their first little baby step towards change?
Well, first I would say to them, what do you want your new story to be? And it could be as simple as, I don't want to gossip anymore. I don't like the feeling of what it feels like when I'm saying negative things about people or I'm engaging in this with other people. I mean, that was something that I consciously started doing. I thought, you know what? I don't like the feeling of doing this anymore. It doesn't make me feel good. It's not a great way to connect with other people. And I thought, I'm just going to stop doing it. Mm-hmm. And I did. Mm-hmm. And that's like, it sounds, again, it's so simple. These aren't big ideas. These are just little ideas, but doing that allowed me to bring some really beautiful people into my life that didn't do that either. Mm-hmm. And it's those really simple things. I think that could be something that you might start thinking to yourself, that's the change I want to make. Or maybe it's like, okay, I want to rewrite my story. What does the story look like? Is there another job that I'd like? Is it a way that I want to show up to my friends and to my children or to my family that's different? Think about what it is and then do what you need to do to make that happen. And maybe it is that you need to stop being negative, change your thought patterns, be more grateful for what you have. Maybe you need to listen more. Maybe you feel that you haven't been a great friend and you're too worried about other things and just showing up for people in a way you never had before. It's those really simple little things that people can do to be able to rewrite their story, whatever it is. Like, you know, there's a famous kind of line in the idea that you are the director of your movie, so make it grand. You can write whatever story you would like. You have that pen.
It sounds so simple, Sarah, but it's lovely to have someone holding your hand along the way, and you offer that for so many. Where can people connect with you, and when can we get our hands on this book?
So the book is out March 4th and it's available at every good bookstore. It's also available online. I did the audio version, so Audible, Spotify, actually wherever you listen to audio books, it's also available. It's called Living a Life of Greatness. I'm on Instagram at Sarah Grimberg. My podcast is A Life of Greatness. YouTube, all the social media platforms, I'm Sarah Grimberg.
You're doing it, sister. You're living a life of greatness. I hope it just continues to get greater and greater. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for the beautiful conversation. I've enjoyed it immensely. Thank you.
As always, the Aging Project podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes. Always seek medical advice from a qualified practitioner.